Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Another week, another damning article by The Athletic in regards to the New York Jets, BT, and the fact that, like, this is not a surprise. And, you know, how legit all these facts are in this article, who the hell knows? Like, you trust the reporting? I mean, it seems to be one thing after another with this team by the same reporters from The Athletic. But I do believe, and I told you this when Carton, we had Carton in here a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about how Woody's kids are influential. Yep. I had heard that prior to that. I didn't think it was fair game to start getting involved with, you know, the kids of the owner. But if I heard it, and Craig heard it, and now it's being reported, I do believe that there's some truth to that. And when you talk about an owner denying a trade that a general manager wants to make because of a Madden rating, I don't know how much worse you could possibly get.
Well, you just look at the record. But I hear you. This is very alarming here. Now, I don't want to take it all as gospel, but
that's what I meant.
I'm certainly not here to refute reporting. I try to take it all in and kind of, you know, see if it meshes with what I think or what I know or both. Listen, Sal, there's a bad run and then there's a bad organization. And I think we all know where the Jets reside. They are an atrocious organization, quite frankly. And, you know, pouring through this article, whether it's his teenage sons or...
That's the problem.
Yeah, for sure.
I also heard stuff about walking around the locker room. Like, you saw that, how they would just go, like...
That's where I was going. Yeah. Like, there's layers to this. The teenage son's influence, that's one thing, but which is not good. Relying on Madden ratings, you brought that up. Mocking some draft choices, like, after it's occurred.
Right.
That's something else. To me, the most damning piece of this, if it's true, is that Woody Johnson, you know, reportedly called out Mike White, and this was after Mike White played with two broken ribs. And he basically said, you know, Mike was in the shower, and then it got back to Mike White, and it was along the lines of, you know, you bleeping suck. All right, listen, you know, the Mike White saga was a very interesting little teeny-weeny chapter inside of all the other meaningless losing chapters in Jets lore, but that's not the point. What is the point? If you feel as the owner, now, it is your team, and you can do whatever you want, clearly, but if you believe that it's smart and that it's acceptable to demean somebody when they play hurt, not hurt, injured. There's a difference. And if you played ball, you know, playing injured, you now completely compromise the professionalism of a franchise. It's one thing to lose games. It's another thing to not really respect the way guys compete, and at that point, what do the players believe in? The answer is nothing.
Yeah, there's a lot of things there that's messy to me, but it just feels like a rich owner who is using this as a toy and a game, a board game, as opposed to a business, a reality, as far as trying to give fans what they want, taking things seriously. Hey, here you go. Daddy bought the Jets. Go have fun. Seriously.
I get it.
How could you dispute that? If Joe Douglas has to answer to a teenager, that's embarrassing. Yeah. They go on social media. They show their daddy things. Like, this is a rich daddy letting his rich, spoiled kids run the organization. And if you're a player, why the hell would you want to deal with that stuff? Think about whether it's Mike White who has to get chastised for that. And I'm not saying every player is above getting chastised, but this seems like it's not right where you get the owner and the kids doing stupid things or walking around in the locker room and taking pictures and, oh, let's get this up on the... Like, there's a lack of professionalism there when you have young kids, even though their daddy owns a team, getting that involved. That's like... And not to mention, BT, the fact that you'd be making decisions based on a Madden rating, like... The Jets have major deep-rooted issues here. This is beyond an owner who's meddling or clueless.
Yep.
This is deep-rooted, treating this like a board game because he doesn't really care about it enough and his sons want to have some fun or some entertainment in an otherwise monotonous, rich, and frivolous life.
The one thing, I don't know that Woody doesn't care. I think probably he cares too much. The problem is he doesn't know football, so his care kind of subverts what they're trying to do. What this does, though, and yeah, these nuggets from the article are very, very alarming, but let's push this forward.
By the way, we will have Diana Rossini at 11 o'clock.
Nice, there you go. So we'll get some more stuff from her. It just further complicates the Jets head coaching search. If you're Mike Vrabel and this comes out, well, let's say Mike is going to believe this chapter and verse, but now it's something that Mike Vrabel has to get past, or it's something that... If you are, now there's a rumbling, maybe Mike Vrabel is interested in the Patriots if they move on from Jared Mayo. I saw that earlier today, right?
Already the Patriots?
Jeez. Yeah, I know. Who knows? They're going to turn into the Jets without Belichick and Brady. But I think now, think about this, guys. Common sense. So think about the opening. So like the Saints and the Jets, and if there's a Giants opening, whatever. This is how it's going to play out. If the top candidate, clearly, or one of the top two, is going to be Mike Vrabel. And the other franchise is going to say, dude, you want to go work for that team?
Well, if you're,
did you hear this? Did you read this? Did you see this? You want to be a part of that?
If you're Vrabel or Dimitroff, two guys that I like Dimitroff, you like Vrabel,
like him too.
And I'd be fine with the combination.
Yep.
Let's just use those two examples. You know, they've been in the news, whatever, this week. If you're either of those guys and you read this, now you got to obviously inquire on your own anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But if you read this and you might have other opportunities, would this be appealing to you? Like, what would you be thinking yourself if you saw this stuff come out?
I would want to run to the hills, but that's why I've got to make sure that it's true. And let's face it, when they've been so bad,
there's enough here, BT.
Yeah, broken for so long. Nobody's making this stuff up.
I'm with you. I don't know how accurate every single thing is in there, and I guess there's been some different reporting, which we could ask Diana about it, with the as far as that Broncos story goes, where Woody wanted to bench him.
Then they said it was
a joke.
Yeah.
So who knows? We can maybe ask her directly about that. But anyway, I'm not questioning the reporting overall. There's truth to a lot of it, if not all of it. And even if it were just a little bit of it, like the kids running around having their say, major problem. Jerry Jeudy, Madden's rating, major problem.
Yeah.
Like these are things that are... Like, how could you even...
Here's how you work around it. Just to answer that question that you posed. Like, if you're... Say, we'll just use Vrabel. You know, he's my number one. So if I'm Mike Vrabel, how do I go about this? All right, so I know what I want. This is the first stuff is basic stuff. I know what I want in terms of length, in terms of money. Now, quality of life. Do I want to live in New Jersey? Okay, those are all things you got to talk about. I believe he's married, and from a family perspective, he's going to have to get the answer on. I can't answer that for him. But as a coach... Now I'm like, all right, am I interested in the roster? What's the salary cap implications? What do I view about Aaron Rodgers? And based on how I view Rodgers, what's the Jets' commitment to Rodgers if it's counter to mine, based on, you know, the dead money and the things that they would have to absorb financially if Vrabel doesn't want, I'm just saying, if he doesn't want Aaron Rodgers back. And then I've got to get down to one thing. And this is the biggest problem with the Jets because I don't think Woody Johnson will ever acquiesce. And it's called power. It's called power. Like, we can sit here and let's say every one of these things is true. Woody's walking around. Woody's around the locker room dropping F-bombs. His sons are responsible for the tweets and the Madden stuff and all the things that we just read. If that's all true, there's one way around it. I get absolute power or I'm not coming. It is literally in my contract. Anything that you do to diminish my power is not permissible based on the legality of my contract. That's the only way. That's what you got to
okay.
do.
Okay, and let's just
but
say.
But Woody's not going to do that.
That's what I was going to count.
Woody's
with,
not yeah. doing right. that. Because Woody is a like a glory power hound.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He looks at this as like, hey, I don't care what BT or Sal say or anybody on social media. It doesn't mean they care to a certain extent. And maybe they'll react to it, which, by the way, is also not the right thing.
Correct.
Even though if you or I believe in certain, you shouldn't be reacting to what we say or fans call about and say or fans tweet about.
Maybe they should.
Well, in certain ways, they should. In certain ways, yes. But you know what I'm saying.
I know
you should
what
never
you mean.
Listen to that type of stuff. But the fact that Woody Johnson just looks at this as like, his playground, his little fun game, that's a major problem. Letting his kids, like the way that you would play a video game with Cold or whatever.
Gosh.
Like, yeah, that's what he's doing. He's taking the New York Jets and making it his little personal playground.
You know, think about Woody's reign. It's been basically...
Family should be barred from the locker room, by the way. You shouldn't be allowed to go interact
with... The family?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bad look. I mean, but you also want that family atmosphere, which the Mets are trying to foster, so think about that.
Yeah,
like,
but
if
there were reports about Steve Cohen's kids, and I don't even know how many kids he has or whatever, like, I don't care about that stuff, but if they're running around and like, hey, Francisco, after the game, taking pictures, or Mendy's son, and posting it on social media, to me, that would be invasive.
It would be.
And also, if I'm a player, I'd be like, I don't mind spending time with the owner's kids, but there's got to be a time and place for it. Post game, after like right after the game, you got people in a locker room or having their influence on teenagers, having their influence on an organization. Like, there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. And to me, Woody's doing it even worse than, let's say, maybe the Wilpons prior.
Maybe worse than anybody.
Yeah, right.
I mean, really, if it interferes and if it's intrusive in my ability to do my job, then it's a problem. So I'm with you on that. Think about this, though, guys. We'll get the calls here. I look at Woody's reign, and I look at when he took over, and I look at the early success that he had. I mean, the first couple of years for Woody, pretty good. Went to the playoffs a bunch of times, and that tells you all you need to know. Think about this drought, which is now 14 years, longest in pro sports, as we've said a billion times. But now think about when he first inherited the Jets after he bought them, and they were good. They were good because there was an infrastructure that was built by somebody else, all right? Because Parcells came in here in 97, and then he was there in 98, he was there in 99, and I know that obviously, you know, Vinny got hurt in 99, but there was still a culture.
The infrastructure was built.
The infrastructure was, the engine was put together, and then it was accessorized by some other things, right? Now, Woody, and they were able to ride that for a couple years because of the culture. Eventually, everybody's gone. Everybody, whether it's a player or a coach, because it's a very volatile league in terms of player movement and coaching movement, everybody eventually left the building. And then it was solely through attrition or whatever. It was now up solely to Woody Johnson. Solely. Exclusively to Woody Johnson to make sure that he could build out his infrastructure. And it's the worst in football. That's all you need to know.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Eric is calling from Rivervale. What's up, Eric?
Sal, BT, how are we doing, gentlemen?
Okay, buddy, what's going on, Eric? How are you?
Oh, just another day to be a Jets fan.
Another day in paradise, buddy. Yeah, right under the palm tree, sipping margaritas.
When you think it can't get worse, it always does with this organization, and it always comes back to Woody. And it's just you guys hit all of the points. I mean, what's unconscionable to me is that, the lack of professionalism and the fact that this is real life, right? This isn't a video game. These are people's lives, right? Like, this impacts people that are employed by this gentleman, and he takes it. And he gives it to his son as if it's some sort of like board game. It's not. Like, it's just, as a fan, the people that pay money to go see this disaster, it's really unbelievable. And I don't, like, Woody's not stupid, right? Like, he can't be stupid. So how does he look at this and think that this is going to work out well? Like, at what point has there ever been an example of an organization that's been successful
when the owner is heavily involved? You say he's not stupid, Eric, and thank you for the call. And I'm not going to call somebody stupid on the air, but would you deem Woody a smart owner?
From a business perspective, I would deem him very smart.
Well, how do we know that? Didn't he get rich because his father's?
Well, sure, but the Jets also...
His father's business, I'm saying?
Yeah, and with the inheritance that we're inheriting. Yeah, yes, but...
What's the old saying? You're born on third base, thinks he hit a triple?
Yeah, I get that. There's an aspect to it, certainly, with his other in-law. I'm just business specific to the Jets. I mean, the Jets, their valuation has soared. I mean, since he took over, like, the Jets are not the Jaguars. Like, the Jets, and I'm not saying that okay. they're the 49ers either, but from a business or Dallas, I don't mean all the field. I mean in terms of revenue. Like, Woody Johnson's making a lot of money with the Jets. I mean, really, the PSLs, even though nobody likes them, and the money that they made from the stadium and the merchandise and the advertising, like, the Jets are a pretty sound business, which is interesting because it completely contradicts their product. I mean, imagine if the Jets were actually competent. Hey, can I tell you something in a weird way? I know this is going to sound absolutely bizarre. In a weird way, I almost feel better about the Jets after this article. Because now I don't have to guess anymore. Like, for years, and I've always surmised it was, you know, it's going to obviously funnel uphill and go to Woody, you know, after we air the grievances, the coaches, the draft picks, the general managers, the, you know, the whatever, the bad penalties, the stupid play. Like, there's got to be a correlation, and we all have long surmised that it's ownership. This confirms it. So I'm almost feeling pretty good about this. I don't have to guess anymore.
And maybe Woody finally is getting exposed in public here, and maybe that will help.
Like a public shaming almost incentivize him to change?
We could hear stuff, and we could think about it, and we could anticipate or assume that it's him, but now, this is not just one article. This has been going on for weeks.
No.
And it's, you know, when you get Joe Douglas saying, I've been, you know, I have to report to a teenager.
Oh, God.
Like, that's right, and you're talking about Madden ratings, like, that can't be accepted, and it's not going to be accepted by the fans or by the media. And maybe Woody realized, hey, you know what? Maybe this is not the right. Now, again, I don't know, but.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me ask you this. If, and we can only hope that that's true, and it's an interesting thought. Sometimes being embarrassed does.
Yeah, right.
You know, facilitate change.
Yeah, who knows?
Okay, so if that's the case, and because nobody enjoys being buried, something that will bother some people more than others, nobody enjoys being buried in the court of public opinion. Nobody, unless you're just a nutball. I mean, who the hell enjoys being, you know, skewered by the public? Right. I don't.
Right.
You don't?
No,
I don't know anybody with a good heart that does. And I believe that Woody's well-intentioned. I've met him. He's a really nice guy. Unfortunately, he's a horrendous owner. So if you're right, and this does inspire change, how does the change, where does he implement the change? I've already given you the answer. Yeah. I've given you the answer to the quiz. By ceding power to the next general manager, next coach, get it in the contract, which is possible, just relinquish power.
And try disciplining your children a little bit, too.
Well, it's too late. They're teenagers. Well, like, you're 5 years old.
It's embarrassing. Matthew was calling from Manhattan. What's up, Matthew?
Hold on.
Matty.
Yeah, hi, guys. Yes, how you doing?
What's up, Matt?
Hey, how's Matt.
Good. Now, regarding Woody Johnson, is that true that actually Mike White was in the shower and he overheard him saying you played like blankety-blank?
Yeah, as per the report, it's true, and I'll believe that the reporting is true until it's proven otherwise, but that's the report.
Now, how is Woody going to spin this when he answers questions at the end of the year? I'm still waiting for his...
Yeah, I don't know.
He's going to have to do some sort of damage control.
Well, that's a great point. When are we going to hear, and thank you for the call, Matthew, when are we going to hear from Woody? At the end of the season? Is that
we'll hear from him, sure. I mean, think about when we heard from him this season, and he was, you know, basically imploring Reddick to jump in his car and drive up the pike. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah.
That was what he said.
But I want him. That was at the owner's meetings or something like that, I thought, right?
Yeah, but it was right around the timing of when, obviously, Salah was fired.
Yeah,
remember, it came out that he spoke to Aaron Rodgers the night before, and he was asked on that conference call if that came up in the call with Rodgers.
I don't remember that
he was asked about that.
Right, but I thought it was he was, like, caught outside in owner's meetings as opposed to sitting there, okay, well, Woody...
State of the Jets?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't think it was that either. I agree with you. I think that's what it was.
When he does the State of the Jets at the end of the year, whatever it is, he's going to be asked by Rossini or Rosenblatt or Costello, whoever, all these people that call Connor Hughes, all these people that cover the Jets, he's going to be asked all these difficult questions. Then we're going to hear answers directly from him about all this stuff.
He's not going to give us answers. He's going
to... He's got to address it. At some point, he's going to be asked about it. He's going to address it.
Yeah, but I think that he'll circumvent it in a way, you know, he'll give you a little piece of meat without giving you the entire carcass. He's actually pretty good at that.
The stuff that we kept hearing, again, behind the scenes, before the even reporting came out there was, oh, God, Joe Douglas is happy as can be that he's out of there.
Yep.
And then and by the way, I've heard that for years going back to Bowles. Oh, Todd Bowles couldn't be happier being at, you know, he did his best while he was there, but couldn't succeed in that environment, whatever it was, just happy to be gone.
Yep.
Same thing about Salah. And now you're really seeing stuff that has been behind the scenes stuff that was talked about for years now be public and exposed. That's why I think that maybe it might force Woody to maybe acknowledge it and change a little bit. You got to hope. We have to hope that that's the case.
Think about this in the real world. Like, apply it to what we do, and this is what everybody else could relate to. Again, it's not that Mike White was very good. It's that Mike White went out there with two busted ribs for his teammates, for his brothers, right? Trying to remember, the Jets started 7-4 that year, so the Jets were still playing for the playoffs. Imagine to be that disrespected and that marginalized in basically in front of everybody, all right? Just imagine, and I know you were sick yesterday, imagine one of us coming in 105, yeah. You know, I'm not 105, you're in the hospital, like right. 102, and the flu, and just barely able to put together a coherent sentence, but it was, you know, the Yankees have a big press conference, or the Mets get mm-hmm. soda, but like, we must be on the air for our right. audience, for us, and for everybody, and our boss walking around, You know, drop an F-bomb, say, oh, my God, you know, that Licata sucks. That Tierney, you know, bleep him. Like, what does that do for morale to put yourself out there to that extent with two busted ribs every time you drop back with, by the way, what a coincidence, another awful line even back then, and you know that you can get absolutely popped by somebody who weighs 300 pounds coming off the edge, and you're going out there for your boys, and your owner doesn't even respect it? Yeah. What? That's where do you go from there?
And it would make, to me, the organization undesirable, to say the least, as far as a head coach, a GM, or even a player. I don't want to play for that guy. Jets have some issues. They need to be fixed in a hurry.
Your official station to talk Giants. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We'll have Diana Rossini coming up at 11 o'clock. We're talking Jets today off the another explosive article from The Athletic talking about Woody Johnson. The one thing I would say, BT, is even though it seems awful right now, and it's been awful for a long time, and these articles are not, you know, appealing to the Jet fan, seeing what the ownership is like, it doesn't mean that they can't win, even by accident. It doesn't mean that they could build sustained success. Probably not under the current structure, but they could still, if they hire the right coaches willing to come here and suck it up and deal with some of the stuff that you might have to deal with, if they keep the right piece in place. Like, it doesn't mean, oh my God, we're doomed, we're never going to win, but you're probably never going to have the sustained success, well-run organization that you'd like to have.
Well, that's what I mean. There's an old expression in college basketball. I remember St. John's was chasing this forever. There's a basketball team, and then there's a program. And, you know, for years, Villanova, I know they're a little bit down without Jay Wright, Villanova program, meaning, you know, kids leave, go to the NBA, they graduate, the next group that comes in, they know what the expectation is, maybe didn't play a ton as a freshman, then they got some more run, and they're always in meaningful games, and you better win 25 games a year, blah, blah, blah. And that's a culture, that's a program. Now, teams that don't have a program, they could have the intermittently good year, maybe get lucky, especially now with the NIL, give a kid a little bit more money, they win some games, but that infrastructure is not there, whether it's coaching, whether it's university support, and that school is not going to be a factor for, you know, 70% of a decade, because it's just elusive, because there's turnover and or turmoil. And you are right that the Jets could stumble upon a good year here and there. They'll never be successfully good, they'll never be good for a sustained amount of time successfully. They just won't, because you almost get the sense like, this is when things go awry for Woody. This is how he acts. You almost get the sense, like, even if things are good, he's still going to want some fingerprints on this team, and it could derail something that's good.
Right, he'll get itchy to start making his mark felt, or his sons will say, yeah, Dad, you know, we did this, but we could do this better, or this Madden rating wasn't good enough. Justin is in Wantague.
Wantage.
Wantage, did I get that? Wantage. What's up, Justin?
Hey, morning, boys. I just want to say, you know, all the Jets fans, we've known this for a long time, and that Woody's been the issue, and now it's finally come out. And I personally, all I want for Christmas is more of these stories to come out. I want agents to get into the papers. I want former GMs, former coaches, former players. We need to make this as much of a circus dumpster fire, so the league has to step in and finally force Woody's hand like they did with Snyder. He's never going to sell the team, but if he gets as much bad PR as possible and people are finally fed up with it, maybe, just maybe, he'll finally take a step back and hire a competent group around him and let them do their jobs. That's the only way anything's ever going to change.
Yeah, Justin, that's not going to happen unless there was something, some sort of scandal. And listen, the Jets are a lot of things. Scandalous is not one. Thankfully, we got that going for us. So the NFL's not going to intervene because they're not well run. They're not going to intervene because, you know, Woody doesn't know who to hire or they can't draft the quarterback. That's not the way it goes. The league intervenes when Donald Sterling, it's uncovered that he's a racist, or Daniel Snyder, everything that was going on. That's when they intervene. They step in and they try to get some resolution. They're not going to step in and tell Woody to be better because that's not their job. That's not their job.
Yeah, I mean, Woody's got to figure that out on his own. He buys the team, they allowed him to own the team, and now he's run it the way that he wants to run things. And by the way, they have had some success under Woody Johnson as the owners. The same way I would talk about the Wilpons, like, everybody said, oh, Wilpons this and that, they have to sell the team. Well, they did have some success. Was it the amount of success that you would like? Was it run the way that you would like? No, of course not. And now you're seeing the difference with Steve Cohen, but until there's a Steve Cohen for the Jets, you as a fan almost have no choice but to hope and believe that you can win in spite of the owner and the poor infrastructure. But when it's exposed to this extent, it's very hard to believe that you're going to get the right people in the building to turn this thing around.
Bingo. That's the problem.
Yeah, well,
so think about the last call that you said. He hopes it gets worse. Well,
yeah.
And I know what he meant. He hopes it gets worse to the point where the NFL steps in and intervenes. And I just told you why that's not going to happen. So it's only going to make it worse for you, for the callers, for us, the fans, and all that. Because if the stories keep coming out, it's probably only going to dissuade smart people, competent people from taking the job.
Right, like Matt Rhule years ago. Not to say that he would have been the right hire, but he didn't take the job for a reason.
Yeah.
He saw all this and said, oh, hell no, I ain't working with that.
Hell no.
Stan is calling from Westport, Connecticut. What's up, Stan?
Hey, guys. Good show. I just want to say that if these stories that are alleging all this are true, I think it really acts to further save the jobs of Shane and Dable for the reason that I do not think that they are going to follow the Jets' lead. And I didn't think that even earlier in the year. I don't think Mayer is going to try to mimic Woody and firing everybody midseason. But now that this came out and it's complete incompetence, I think he's going to distance himself even further from the same kinds of actions. That's what I think.
So what? I mean,
it has nothing to do with the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, what? Yeah. So the Giants will look at the Jets, and based on what's happening allegedly or reportedly with the Jets, that's going to influence what Mara does?
No, it's a totally different thing. Like, the Giants' infrastructure is certainly not as bad as the Jets' infrastructure is, based on all these reports.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that the Giants have made the right decisions either as an organization. It may just be different ways to get to losing for the amount of time they've been losing, but it's doesn't mean that, oh, well, because the Jets are a mess, the Giants are going to keep Shane and Dable or not keep Shane. Like, it's a totally different thing. And we've talked about the Giants. We'll get to the Giants. This is about the Jets here. And what really, BT, now is an exposed, poor infrastructure at a time where they're going to be trying to hire a new general manager and head coach to come in and clean this thing up. So, I mean, look, bottom line is Woody is going to have to change in certain ways here to get somebody worth a damn in here. He's going to have to, because nobody worth a damn would come in and say, I'm going to work for the New York Jets willingly, unless you have no other options. And if you don't have any other options, then how good are you? But if Woody doesn't change his ways a little bit, I don't see how they're going to get anybody that's worth anything.
You have to fumigate the joint. The problem is, are you going to fumigate family members?
Well, that's
going to change.
He's got to keep that in control.
But is that going to change? I mean, is that going to suddenly? If that stuff is true, and we've all heard this for a while, and it's obviously gaining traction. Okay, if that's true, where his teenage sons, and I'm not trying to talk out of school and get into somebody's family business. I'm really not. But it's part of the reports, and you and I have heard that, and others have heard that off the record for a while. That it's a problem. So if that's the case, right now, Woody might give the new general manager and the new head coach a little more power contractually, and that's what I want him to do. That might be the only, that's the Hail Mary. That might actually save this team, this franchise. But is he going to actually get his family out of the locker room and stop listening to them and with the tweets and with the behind-the-scenes manipulation? Or I don't know that he's going to do that because it's his team. See, no one's going to look him in the eyes and say, all right, so-and-so has to happen. This person has to leave. This you can't do it. No one's doing that to Woody. Woody's doing that to people, but nobody's doing that to Woody because it's his team. And see, the biggest problem with Woody, and this is dangerous, he doesn't know what he doesn't know. And that's not a good
thing.
Well,
that was kind of the point of saying, well, now that this is out there in the open, maybe he would at least be a little more aware of it. Bubby is calling from Florida. What's up, Bubby?
Bubby!
BT and Sal, thanks for taking the call. On a positive, it's 82 and sunny down here in South Florida.
God bless you.
All right, so first of all, I 1,000% think every piece of this article is true because it's the Jets. I have a couple of things. Why do you think the article part about 2022 with Mike White would come out now? Like, why does it take so long for that reporting to come out of that piece?
Well, my guess would be that guys who were employed at the time are no longer employed now and are starting to get some of those stories out there, right? I mean, that would be
right.
Now, I don't know that. But
that's where you start. I was going the same thing. Yeah.
Right.
Now, so, think about this, Bubby. Hold on a second, Bub. Think about this. So, I'm not saying for sure that this came from Joe or this came directly from Robert Saleh. I don't know. But if you're those two men, and I use them as the examples because very prominent jobs, GM, head coach, don't you think it behooves them to paint a picture of dysfunction so it kind of sheds light on their lack of success and maybe makes them, for lack of a better word, more employable? I do.
Of course.
That's why.
And to your guys' point that you just said, they may run into a winning season. But who in the right, and I know there's 32 jobs, only 32 jobs, who in the right mind wants to come to this franchise? It is the worst franchise in all of sports. And how about the part of the article, all of it's terrible, but Boomer and Gio were saying after they beat the Texans, the Rodgers was going to give the game ball to Ulbrich. And the kid came in and gave the game ball to Garrett Wilson and said, you can't make it up. And every time you think it gets worse, it gets even more worse. And I'm not even fazed, but it's just such a disgrace.
Thank you for the call, Bubby. I hope Rodgers, on his next McAfee interview, addresses this and exposes everything as well. Like, I'm surprised that he wouldn't have already, maybe trying to be respectful to the family or whatever, but, like, come on. If it really is that bad and you're interrupting Roger, like, he would be the one to say, hey, this can't be tolerated here. Like, I get that they're your kids. There's a time and place for that. Not now, giving out the game ball.
I think so, and I think in a way, I know. Think about, my God. I think in a way he already did address it last year when he was hurt. Remember he said on McAfee, you know, the BS in the leagues have to stop. Remember that?
He was referring to...
I mean, I'm sure he was referring to a broad spectrum of stuff. Maybe not specifically the Mike White. Well, you know, he wasn't even there. But, you know, like, I just think that it's kind of that was an all-encompassing statement and reflection of just how broken the Jets are.
Yeah. I mean, it's a shame because you love this team. You want them to be good. You want to hope against hope that it's not the owner. It's not deep-rooted issues. Who in their right mind want to come here? And meanwhile, even worse, Bill Belichick wants to come here, and they don't even take his call. It's ridiculous.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official station to talk New York Rangers. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Diana Rossini will join us in about 15 minutes or so. BT, we'll get some more insight into her latest scathing column of Woody Johnson and the New York Jets. Do you feel any different about the New York Jets today after reading that article?
Not particularly. I mean, maybe it adds a little clarity if all this stuff is true as to why they've been so bad and dysfunctional. But no, I mean, you know, listen, you know the ride we've been on. I don't know that I could read anything today that would make me feel better or feel worse, unless maybe I read that Woody was selling the team, that I feel real good. Can you explain something to me?
Yeah.
And I think their reporting's very good, but why is it that Rossini, and who's the other one, Zach Rosenblatt?
Yeah, I think so.
Why do they always get together on these reports? I don't really see that with anybody else. Why is there always like a tag team?
Yeah, maybe they, I mean, I'm just assuming they use each of their sources within either the building or outside. Yeah, I don't have the
right.
I
don't really, and it's not a knocker. It's just like, well, okay, interesting.
Yeah.
You know?
Generally where another, I mean, sometimes you see it with multiple reporters, but it seems that these two in this
they're always connected with
right,
the Jets.
Right, but I would think, is Rossini the Jets? She's not the Jets beat writer,
I'm
right?
I'm not sure.
Okay, well, Zach probably is the Jets beat writer.
Uh-huh.
And Rossini more maybe the bigger national writer.
Maybe.
And what, we could ask her. I know I'm running in 12 minutes or so we could ask her why that is the case. Steve is in Smithtown. What's up, Steve?
Yeah, hey, guys. First time, long time. So, curious thing. So, do some of the former Jets coaches maybe even deserve maybe not an apology, but almost like an understanding for the lack of better words, the you-know-what show going on with the Jets? What do you guys think? Or are they just kind of painting the picture that you guys said just to, for example, Joe Douglas make himself seem a little more hireable since, I mean,
to an extent,
didn't really do anything right.
To an extent. I mean, listen, do I think that, first of all, Robert Saleh just looks better since he was fired because Obrich has basically done worse. So, I mean, that's the short, small stuff there. Do I think that Robert Saleh, forget about Woody and all the other stuff, do I think he distinguished himself on game day, like knowing really what to do in terms of timeouts and situations? No, I don't. I don't think Robert Saleh was a very good situational head coach at all. You could have no owner, and that should have no impact on whether or not you know what to do on third and whatever, should you punt or go for it. I mean, no.
Yeah, Robert Saleh was a bad head coach, independent of Woody Johnson being a bad meddling owner. Those are two different things, but did Woody Johnson make it more difficult on his owner, on his head coach, on his players, on his general manager? Absolutely. And I really do think, BT, this is more, I think it's a combination. Again, I don't know. I'm just assuming here. Do the math. Use some common sense. I think it's probably a combination of Saleh and Joe Douglas. But since Joe Douglas has been dismissed, there's been a lot more of this than right after Saleh. You know what I'm saying?
Go ahead.
I think it's Joe Douglas being like, geez, this isn't me. This is what I was working with here. I tried to trade for Jerry Jeudy, who's been a stud now with Cleveland, and he said no because of a Madden rating. Like, I don't think that that's made up. I think that that's legit, which is, I mean, highly alarming.
It's just too specific to be completely untrue.
Yeah, right. Madden.
I mean, if it was more like, you know, Woody Johnson uses unique, unique techniques to evaluate players, but it didn't quite say what, you're like, all right, whatever. That's very nebulous. What the hell does that mean? You tell me somebody pulled this out of thin air that was just specific to Jerry Jeudy and the Madden rating that there's no truth to it? I find that hard to believe.
Or Joe Douglas, quote, I answer to a teenager.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, my God.
Come on, man. Tom is in Shoreham. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys, how are you? Love the show. Two very quick points. Rodgers did address this ownership issue. He disguised it when he was speaking about how Detroit became patient with their management team and it paid off. That's number one. Number two, guys, Does the new coach have to form a relationship and go golfing with Joe Beningo? Because if you're telling me Sala wanted to do that, I can't believe it now. I can't.
Sala's
anyway,
just trying to be a nice
guy. Show, guys.
Thank you,
Merry
Tom.
Christmas. Love
you
the
too,
show.
Tommy. Thanks, pal. Appreciate that.
Sala's just trying to be a nice guy and play golf with Joe. I almost feel
Sala is a nice guy.
That's what I'm saying. I feel bad for him. He's too nice.
Yeah.
He's too nice. I want a little mean as far as the head coach goes.
That's why I want Vrabel.
Because what, you think he's got
He's tough. He's intense. Yeah. Although, you know, you see a story like this and you almost can't help but think, all right, I mean, what qualified candidate? Even before this, I was worried that nobody would really want the job. But
there's no way Vrabel would want it.
I'm not going to say way. I'm not going to say no way, but it almost feels more like, all right, let's queue up Rex or Aaron Glenn. You know, two guys that were here before. And Aaron Glenn very well might be an outstanding head coach. Maybe the Jets stumble onto a great coach because nobody wants it. And because Glenn's a former Jet, he's like, oh, yeah, I'll take it. Maybe, all but... Right. You know,
so how about this idea? Because I've heard this said before, and it's common sense, right? Every general manager's most difficult task is to appease the owner and deal with their BS, whether it's being on top of you, pressuring you, whatever. The kids, I guess, in this particular case.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe Dimitroff and let's just say Vrabel say, okay, we know that the owner's going to be a problem in certain regards. I know how to deal with that, offset it, handle it. And they come in here because they want an opportunity. They like the idea of potentially turning around New York. They see maybe some of the players, whatever it may be.
The money's going to be there.
Yeah,
Jets
the money's going to be there. And then they think to themselves, we'll manage this and try to deal with this. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we could eventually, if he hires the right guys with enough clout, like Dimitroff and Vrabel, and I think that they both do,
mm-hmm,
respectively, maybe then their words have more weight versus Joe Douglas, who was a first-time GM, and Robert Sala, who was a first-time head coach.
Interesting thought, but I'm not going to rely on words carrying weight. I need it in a contract, which means, again, let's just say that this truly happened with the Judy stuff and, you know, Woody's kids, he's not high, you know, they don't have a good enough rating, and Woody pulled the plug on that. If the contract states clearly, you know, Dimitroff has a final say on all personnel matters, guess what? That can't happen. Now, if that's not written in the contract, even if Dimitroff and say here Vrabel, if they believe based on ego, not in a bad way, based on confidence, based on their football, you know, intellect and their inner compass as football men. Listen, all right, we know it's bad, but we'll be able to deal with this guy. But you sometimes bad is never as bad until you get in the building.
Yeah.
Like, you could know, you could go in there eyes wide open like, all right, it's a mess. This is the reason why the Jets have been terrible for a decade and a half. But we're better than Joe. We're better than Idzig. We're better than McCagden. We're better than those guys. And then you get in there and they're having beers one night. I'm talking about the GM and the head coach. They're like, whoa, we're up to our neck. This is worse than that's why it must be in the contract.